Hello, photography lovers. You are not mistaken. This is the Passion Photography Podcast. My name is Virginia Anchima and today is Wednesday. And as usual, I'm here with a guest. The thing is, unfortunately, I'm sick and I almost have no voice. So I'm really hoping that you can actually hear this intro because it's important to me. I wanted to start just giving you some interesting facts around me in the beginning of every episode, and I think it's going to be good to start with the fact that every time I catch a cold lately, like the past 4 years or something, my voice is all gone, which is awful because of the podcast. And it wasn't like that before. So if you can relate to this problem, I just want to tell you, you're not alone in this. But in case you have come up with some recipes on how to recover a voice in a situation like this, please share your recipes on the Fashion Photography Podcast Facebook page because this is going to help me a lot. Before starting today's episode, I just want to remind you that you can see my guest's portfolio on photographypodcast.net where you are going to find his gorgeous photographs and also all of our previous episodes. Today we'll be answering questions like, is photography a family art or door to a deeper connection? Hugh is going to tell us how to find the path to your true style, how a personal project can open you so many doors, and how to handle rejection. And he's also going to tell us about his collection with rejections. So I hope you're going to enjoy this interview, and don't worry, it's a record, so my voice won't continue sound like that.
Hello, my name is Hugh Kretschmer. Grateful to be here with Virginia to talk about the work that I do. Basically, I'm a photo illustrator. And what that means is I am an illustrator who uses a camera. Most of my work comes from editorial clients. I illustrate fiction and nonfiction stories. My work is conceptual undertone to it. And I started photography. My dad introduced me to photography because he was a photo instrumentation engineer for McDonnell Douglas, and he worked on the Mercury through Apollo missions.
Whoa.
Yeah, and he had this amazing darkroom in a bomb shelter that was adjacent to the house. I was one of seven kids, the fifth one. It was a kind of a rite of passage growing up there that he would take each one of us into the darkroom and we would expose and process and print our own images. And no one, except for me, took to it.
Oh.
Yeah, so when it came to me, he had a willing participant. And I think he did that just so he could have someone to talk to about it, you know.
Oh.
And we spent a lot of time in his office talking about the glory days of his. He did some amazing stuff. So he was more of a nuts and bolts photographer. And through the evolution of my career, I took what I learned from him and applied it to the work that I do. A lot of the work that I do is very unconventional. It's different processes that I don't know of anybody that uses the processes that I do. It's been really fun and enjoyable being able to do the work that I do. I get to help solve my clients' visual problems. They come to me. In that process, I've been able to control the work that I do.
You should totally see my face right now. Because I'm like, oh my God, seven kids, right?
Yeah.
And a bomb shelter and a dark room. And right now, I'm really starting to explain to myself your work and the dimensions of it. Because it sounds like a story from a book. It's super amazing.
Oh, thanks. Thanks. Yeah, I feel very privileged and grateful to have the history that I have that allows me to do this work right now. So,
what about your brothers and sisters? What are they doing?
Oh, I grew up in a family of artists. My mother dabbled in all sorts of media. My sister is a fine art painter in New York. I have another sister who's an illustrator. All of us play with cameras and photography. My youngest brother is an ornamental horticulturist, so he has a creativity to himself, too. So luckily, I had that growing up, so my parents were people who didn't tell me to go to business school or be a lawyer or doctor. They encouraged my creativity and helped me pursue that in a very vicious way. So I really had a lot of moral and financial support.
While I was thinking about this interview, I was thinking to ask you if only you could be something else. If for some reason you weren't able to be a photographer, what else would you be? But I don't even think that you have thought about it.
I think it would definitely be in the visual arts, whatever that mm-hmm. is. I can't think of anything else that I'd rather be doing. Something related, whether it's painting or filmmaking or, you know, making props or constructions. I'd be doing something in the visual arts.
Do you ever make the props for your photo shoots?
Oh, many, many, many times, yes.
Nice.
We'll talk about that also, yeah. I'm very hands-on with every production. I can do everything. I've done everything. It's easy for me to work with people. I know what I want. They know, and I'm able to communicate that to them. And I make sure of that. So I'm very heavy-handed, and I don't need to rely on anybody to do my productions. I can do it all myself. So it makes it a lot easier when I'm doing a big project, and everyone knows about that. So it just makes life so much easier.
That is very weird, because usually in this field, we have to talk with a lot of people. We have big teams and things like that. And at the same time, you were like, I can do this on my own, which is super cool.
I can't do makeup. I'm not good at makeup. I can do hair, though, a little bit of hair.
Nice.
I've learned how to do that actually last year.
Oh.
I did a still life with hair. I have a little bit of training. But as far as the props are concerned, I used to make things when I was a kid, kit models or whatever it was. And through the evolution of my work, I've had to rely on my skills or develop my skills in order to create what I wanted to create.
Okay. Tell me a little bit more about the evolution of your work. Tell me how you started, because yeah, I know about your father now and everyone in the audience, but I'm sure your father was not your door to your clients. So tell us a little bit about that.
That's a great question. I went to art school, Art Center College of Design. And when I graduated, I wanted to do still life work, illustrative still life. That was what I termed the type of work that I did. But yet, when I got out of school, my portfolio looked like an Art mm-hmm. Center portfolio. And I would actually get comments from art directors when I would meet with them. They would look at my book and within three images would say, oh, you went to Art Center.
Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah. No. So it had this signature on it. The images had a signature on it. It's hard not to have that because of you're so confined to this little quadrant of the school. How can you not be influenced by what everyone else is doing? Mm. That was difficult because I'm trying to develop relationships with other people that do the work that I do. So it was a challenge. And at the time, I was deciding whether to go into documentary work. I had done really well in school with that. And I made a decision to try for that by going to Asia and shooting a portfolio of work.
Wow.
And then entering it into the National Geographic Internship Program, which is, I guess, still held. At the time, there were three positions available. Mm-hmm. And so when I came back, I entered it into that. I didn't make it. I was a finalist. But I decided, okay, if that's not going to work out, if I don't get one of those positions, I'm going to continue to do the work that I do, but do it in a different way. Mm-hmm. And at that same time, I heard a motivational speaker whose name is Ian Summers. I think he still practices. He's an industry consultant. Mm-hmm. And he talked about doing what you love, and then everything else will fall into place. And it really impacted me. And so growing up in this family of artists, my mother, who had this library filled with art history books and museum catalogs, I loved going through them. Mm-hmm. And I realized my connection to 20th century art, particularly the Cubists, the Russian constructivist Dadaism, and Surrealism, of course. And so I took it upon myself to rent a studio, started experimenting with different techniques. And I came up with about a 2-year process of a particular body of work. They were still life constructions. And on my website, there's a section called Constructions. Those were the early works that I'm talking about. QKretschmer.net.
And it's also linked in the show notes, guys, as usual.
if you go into that particular portfolio, you can see the first examples of that work. And that's when my career began to take hold. And at the time, I met my agent.
Wow.
For 25 years, which is, you know, remarkable in itself. And then slowly but surely began to get commissions. And my first commission was for the San Francisco AIDS Foundation annual report of that year. And it was pro bono, which I, you know, for those that are beginning their careers out there in ethers, I would recommend, if there's any opportunity for you to do nonprofit work to get started, I recommend that pro bono. Get your expenses paid, but maybe you can donate your time. And that's exactly what happened. And that particular piece got into the Communication Arts Design Annual that year. And from there, it just began to slowly take off. And for about 5 years, I was doing that type of work, you know, consistently. Mm-hmm. And they were long projects because they would take up to 2 weeks to do one illustration. Because I'm designing it as a sketch, that's where I start my process, is sketching out what I want to do. I have to communicate to my clients of when I'm trying to put together. So I have to put together a sketch. And then from there, building the props, finding the props, and then arrange it on this light table. And then I have to send off a Polaroid to the client, and becomes a 1 or 2 week process for each one of those.
What's the project from your portfolio that excites you the most? Or maybe there are a few, or maybe the latest one?
Well, not the latest one. I think probably the most heartfelt, poignant project I did was when I first moved to New York. Mm-hmm. I did a project. It's in Fables. It's called Gastronopolis.
For the people who are maybe in their car right now or they're working out, do you want to first describe the images if they cannot see them?
Sure. A series of 7 images. They're black and white, stylized, quote unquote, alien, who comes influenced by the Fritz Lang film Metropolis. Style. It's deco, black and white. And it's the story is of this alien who comes down to Earth and, not realizing why she's there, tries to adapt herself to this new surroundings. And meanwhile, behind in her instinct, she's trying to figure out why she's actually there. She has urges and she realizes that she's there to consume the city. So she ends up eating New York City. And that's why it's called Gastronopolis. That's a really rough description, but the reason why that's so poignant and why that's so important for me, that particular project, and why it's so heartfelt was because it was from that place of close to my heart. I love vintage sci-fi film. I love New York, and I put those two together in this story. It just unfolded miraculously. I found a costume designer fresh out of FIT, the Fashion Institute of Technology in Manhattan, who is now a huge Broadway costumer. Nice. She's just out of school. She did the costume. I made a lot of the props that are there. Crescent Moon, the helmet I made out of a kid's army helmet because it was around Halloween time. Mm-hmm. And the ideas just kept coming what to do. And it took about a year to do. And when it was finished, I was asked to be profiled in Communication Arts Magazine. That was a brand new project that I was able to feature in that particular article. And then from there, that's when my career really took off from that point on. So it was very important. And this is a good side note, is that I've practiced doing my own projects more so than ever. Personal projects are super important.
That was my next question, because you said the pro bono experience that you had and your advice to the people. And I was wondering, do you still do it now? And now we know.
Well, yeah, I do. I'm actually starting a new project on water. That was stimulated by an interview that I did when I was in Dubai earlier this year. I was teaching workshops there and presented work, and I was interviewed by someone who talked about purpose. Mm-hmm. What can your work do to help humanity? And I had this project in mind, so.
Oh, God, I have so many questions for you. Okay.
Keep asking. I'm here.
Okay, so tell me, how do you get inspired? But first of all, do you think that everyone carry this gift in themselves?
Imagination? Mm-hmm. I think somewhere, sure. I don't know where inspiration comes from, to be perfectly honest. I can't pinpoint any particular sighting or influence where inspiration comes from. It comes from the most odd places. I may see something 20 years ago and then it might gel 20 years later. I don't know. But as far as my philosophy, I adhere more to what I learned early on about following your heart rather than trying to fit my work to a genre or a look. And I've done this. I'll admit it. I've done this. Adhered my work to what I think will get me work. It never works out. But when I do the work that comes from the heart and make it my own, because that's naturally what happens, it becomes my own, that's when things work.
So you've tried to change your style in order to gain more clients.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
I had this idea to do a car ad because I wanted to get, you know, some automotive work. I worked with a retoucher, we did compositing, and by the end, it just looked like something I wouldn't do. It just taught me how it's so important for me to just continue following my natural instincts and my natural path, and then things will happen. And that particular project I just referred to really hit it home for me. Yes, I learned the lesson a long time ago, but for some reason, I thought, I'll just try it this time and see what happens. And it hasn't worked.
Do you think that the Alien Project was the evolution of your work?
Oh, I think it was one of many evolutions, to be honest with you. But yes, it was profound. It was just a love that I followed, and it just opened up so many doors. That particular project was the feature theme of the Photo East Expo that year. So when you walk into the convention center, the Javits Center in New York that year, my work was everywhere.
Wow.
Huge posters, two stories tall. It was on the catalog. It was everywhere. I had no idea. I mean, it just happened. And that was just one result of many from that particular project where it took me. So
it's so weird, the whole idea about the alien eating.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God.
I wrote a script for it. I did sketches. I presented it to, before the project was even done or wasn't even started, I presented it to Vanity Fair magazine, to New York Times magazine.
Were they like, what the hell?
Well, yeah. I mean, it was kind of like, I have a collection of rejection letters that I have in my files. I don't care that they didn't take it on. Of course, was a little disappointed, but I'm like, look, they saw it. They recognized, they wrote back.
Yeah.
They wrote it in a letter that they mailed. They put a stamp on it and mailed it back. It's crazy, right?
Yeah. Where do you get those crazy ideas from?
And people ask me that all the time.
I'm sure.
I don't know where they come from, but it's a thought pattern. I don't know where it comes from. I really don't.
It's super nice because your photographs are amazing.
I appreciate it.
What was the best compliment you've ever received about your photos?
Oh, being interviewed by Communication Arts Magazine, being asked to be a keynote speaker in Dubai. I mean, there's so many. I mean, really wonderful things. I feel so grateful. Having my work at the Photo Expo in New York.
Definitely. It's a compliment, yeah.
Yeah, I think those are compliments.
What do you think is the most important ingredient in order to make such an amazing portfolio?
Most important ingredient? That's so funny that you should ask. I was just thinking about that. For me, it's concept. Yeah, this is the most important ingredient in my work. Part of my artist statements says that almost verbatim. I can't think in simplicity. I need to have some sort of concept, some sort of reason for doing the work. It adds something more to the already beautiful photograph. And it has a narrative, it has a message, it has a statement. You know, it's so funny because I had an exhibit a couple of years ago of my work, and everyone who attended had a different reaction to a particular piece. they resonated with different pieces. So for the most part, no one picked one in particular that got a reaction. Everyone had different ones that they liked and for different reasons. And it was really interesting to watch and hear about.
Do you have any advices maybe? Should we force our concepts and ideas? Should we give them time to develop, especially in a world that everything is so fast?
I can only speak about my process.
Mm-hmm.
I like to let things percolate for a while. Like, for instance, this water project. I've been thinking about this for over a year now. In that pause, in that time of the initial idea and now, a lot of other things have unfolded towards that project. So mm-hmm. I'm grateful for the fact that I've had this period of time for things to percolate, because if I jumped in then, I may not have been able to successfully accomplish it.
Mm-hmm.
Because so many other things have unfolded that make this project even more impactful, I guess. Even though I haven't even started it, I don't even know how it's going to work out. But like, for instance, I've found locations that I didn't even imagine a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
I've found materials that were I had only imagined a year ago, and now I found them. So that's my process. So in regards to the Gastronopolis series, I let that one percolate even before I started production on it.
Mm-hmm.
And that period of time opened up for so many other concepts to come up and make it the project that it is today.
And do you have any ideas that you have just come up with and then left?
Oh, many. If I'm trying to problem solve too much, if I'm really baffled by a solution, it's best for me to just let it go and abandon the project.
Wow.
If I'm trying to force things to mm-hmm. make it happen, or force technique, or it becomes too complex pre or post-production, it's a signal for me to just abandon it. And there have been many.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the work that you're seeing are the success stories, but I've got a backlog of bad projects.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
And what about your clients' work? Have you ever been afraid of maybe failing?
We'll have to stop here with this question, but next Wednesday we'll continue with our conversation with this amazing guest. I hope you love it. If so, let me know by leaving us an honest review on Apple Podcasts. This will not only help us to reach more people, but also to bring you more guests. Because every time they see your reviews, they just want to be part of it straight away. So thank you so much again for being with us. Do not forget to check out my guest's website and social media. They're both linked in the show notes. And you can also find them on JudeFashionMagazine.com and NeverlandMag.com. And of course, on our personal website called PhotographyPodcast.net, where you can also see all of our previous episodes. Thank you again for being with me, and I'll see you next Wednesday.